Batchy for Blokes.
Okay, welcome to Batchy for Blokes. This is the penultimate episode.
I'm sad and I'm digging a hole to shit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a camping reference.
I'm Jackie Kosolke from Triple M Sydney, and with me my friend Jo Thornley, who writes the recaps at news.com.au of The Bachelor. And we have a special guest. We have our first guest.
Yes.
Woohoo. So with me is my other friend, Jana Hocking.
Hello.
Jana also has a podcast called High Heels and Hangovers, which you should check out. Now, the reason we've got Jana here is she used to work on The Bachelor.
Dun, dun, dun. I did the first series, so we were really just finding our feet.
Tim and Anna, who are still together.
Yes. Yeah.
So he was the chiropractor and she's a lawyer. Right,
yeah,
okay.
He did well.
Jo and I have both been watching a show called Unreal, which is a great companion piece to The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Which is a black comedy about the producers of The Bachelor, which you did in real life.
Yeah, I did. I did. And I've watched it. I've watched most of the first series and it's pretty spot on. Because it was written by someone who was a producer, so that it's fairly true to the story.
And what was your actual role?
So I was the date producer, so I set up all the
amazing
dates.
Yeah. It sounds a bit like a doctor that works with bottoms, doesn't it? I'll be your date producer in hospital this morning.
Yes, it's insane. But I liked it because you'd put together a dream date, then pitch it to the boss, and then he'd go, "Now that's really good, but make it bigger."
So was it like, that's a fine date in real life, but we need ridiculous.
Yeah, it was my dream date. Then you had to times it by 10. So, you needed the horses on the beach. You needed the private aeroplane. You needed it. It was just ridiculous.
What was the most ridiculous date?
There was a couple. One, I did a private jet from Sydney to Byron where they were met by horses, which took them for a horse ride along the beach where there was a giant picnic set up at the end of it.
I could just see that, like, the horses at the airport going, "Hi, I'll be your horse for today."
Insane. Or there was a carnival, a private
It's going to take us this many hours to get there.
Yeah. Have the horses on standby.
How far apart are the rose ceremonies?
A couple of days. So maybe 3 days.
Right.
It's very quick. Like, it's just date after date after date after date.
And I like how the girls are like, "Oh, we've been here for a month." Brackets, 6 hours.
No, it is actually fairly true to form. Like, they really do stick to it. How quick it looks on the show is how quick it is.
Right.
In real life. And it's because we work months before it to have everything set up, which makes it run nice and smoothly, because it's a big process.
Now, in Unreal, each contestant has their own producer.
Yeah.
And as soon as the girl goes, the producer goes, and they get very competitive. Is that the same behind the scenes?
In the first series, I'm not sure what it's like now, but the first series it wasn't, just because obviously we don't have the budget like they do in America, which is ridiculous. But in America, you're right, it's a game for the producers as well, because they want to keep their girl in, because as long as their girl is in, they have a job. In Unreal, it is so competitive, and that's like that in real life.
That's so delicious.
But in the Australian series, you do pick your favourites and the ones you really love, and you do kind of bat for them to win. But you know fairly early in who you reckon the girl's going to be, because it's like real life. Once they fall head over heels, that's it.
And of the girls you worked with, what was the percentage of complete princesses?
First of all, we have a safe word, because we don't want to get Jana into any trouble. So our safe word is pineapple.
Yes.
So if you can't answer or don't feel comfortable answering, just say pineapple.
No, we were pretty lucky with the first series. They were all fairly normal and they genuinely wanted to be on the show. And that was before everyone knew just how famous they would become.
Yep.
So I think it's the only series where all the girls have really stayed friends, which is quite nice. I think the biggest princesses got voted off fairly quickly, because they're quite obvious, and they're quite obvious to The Bachelor as well. So.
It's a very unusual situation to make long-term friends in, isn't it?
It's
so
random.
Really happen in real life. We're all competing for the one guy.
Oh my God.
Let's hang out.
I'm sure we've all been in situations where, we've liked a guy and a friend of ours has kissed him, or has, friended him on Facebook. And then you're off that chick.
You're off her.
As I understand it, like more people than just me have got a thing for Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. I read a really good quote the other day that said, dating in real life is just like The Bachelor. It just takes 7 to 8 weeks to find out there's other girls in the competition. And it's so true.
That's true. All right, Jenna, well, we'll let you go because you're actually at work.
Yes.
At the moment.
Gotta go.
So, this is the opposite of The Bachelor. The only blonde is leaving.
Yeah. I like The Bachelorette in my dreams. Yeah.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we should get down to business because this is the second last episode of Batchy for Blokes, season one.
Dot, 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 ellipsis. It was an unusual week because, you know, no date cards, nothing. It was 2 days of camping and then 4 days of home visits.
Yeah, and the camping episode on Wednesday night was just a bit boring.
I do think it's fun. Like, those girls having to dig and squat is just, I really think they should have spent more time on how and where they went to the toilet.
For the long drop, yes.
But I like that thing where they drop them off and they say, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing except 4 kayaks, 3 billy carts, a wagon.
Couch?
Yeah, a wagon wheel date couch and some crystal stemware.
And also the big theme of the episode was Princess Ukraine,
yes.
Olena, just not wanting to pitch Richie's tent, not wanting to...
Not, she didn't erect a single thing the whole time.
Not one erection from Olena. Did we make enough dick jokes or are we done? Any more dick jokes?
No, wait, there's a tennis game later.
Okay, great, cool.
For balls. It does take the shine off Olena. You know that I've been backing her a bit and that I think I like a helper.
Yeah.
She's not a helper.
I hate camping. Hate it.
I love it.
But the thing was, if I was forced to do that and there were cameras on me, I would be like, I'd just suck it up. Because no one wants
Absolutely.
To be that girl.
I could have made another dick joke there as well, just to be honest.
Go on.
Well, no, you said suck it up. I like the cooking thing. I would have been in there going, like just trying to be an absolute gourmet.
Yeah.
Over the campfire.
Yeah. Well, was it? Who made the damper? Faith.
Faith did.
Faith. Oh, I'm sorry. I brought it up too soon. So before we get to that, there was a billy cart race. There was some competitive, kayak polo?
Bachelor kayak polo, because the only way to make it interesting is to throw adjectives at it.
Yeah. 2020 Tokyo.
And then
Olympics. It's the next Olympic sport. Bachelor kayak polo, 2020 Tokyo.
2020 Tokyo sounds like a new drug that police are targeting. She was whacked out on 2020 Tokyo. We'd all lost all hope. But he also took, you know, in the stupidest single dates ever, he took each girl aside for a chat. So, and I like that, you know, Faith got red wine in proper glassware on a draped wagon wheel. And Alex got a chat leaning on the truck.
It was very Bachelor and Spinster's Ball, wasn't it?
Yes. And I did say, I think I tweeted along with it, and I was saying that with Rachel, it was the first time he'd ever got wood with a brunette because they went and collected firewood.
Miraculously, they were transported back to the mansion.
Very suddenly, with no real leeway.
No.
Like, well, no progress made. I must admit, when I saw them lined up in the Rosatorium, I just went, oh, g'day, boobs.
Missed you, boobs. First of all, we should say, I say don't take us on camping dates.
I say do. It's not a first date thing, obviously, because, let me drive you out to the middle of nowhere where we're alone. Oh, only one tent. Yeah, save it for a bit later. Because you do have to, in the middle of nowhere, when there's not a sound and the fire's died down, you can hear every fart. So you need to be at that point in your relationship.
So generally, if you match with us on Tinder, don't ask us to go camping with you on the first date. But
yes.
So then we're back at the mansion, 5 girls, 4 roses, Faith.
Why? I mean, I think I've always thought that Faith could do better than Richie, but at the same time, it's like he banned rainbows. I don't.
Well, his reasoning was when he had a chat with her during the camping trip, he was like, I just don't know how seriously she's taking this and, you know.
This is the man that says ha-ha more than anything else and he's worried about other people taking things seriously.
This is the man who took Hamish Blake's pants off when he was dressed like a toddler last week. So I just don't know. But anyway, Faith's cool. I saw an interview with her on the project last night.
Because she looked dirty at the time.
She looked dirty at the time. I think she's sweet. She's fine. She's beautiful. We loved her. Faith, if you listen to this, I don't know if they do, we loved you.
We love your Faith.
Yes, we enjoyed watching you. Then we were on to the final four, which was home visits.
Home visits are excruciating.
Yeah.
I don't like other people's families, except for, you know, those that I've met. Hi. But everybody's family is weird.
Yes.
To everyone except the person in them.
Correct. Although I watched Nikki's family and I was like, oh, I just want to be
don't
there.
Don't you want to be there? I was ready to call a cab.
And I was like, oh, that's like if I hope that when people come to my parents' house, they're like, I just want to be there.
It was so genuinely warm. But let's do it in chronological order because I've got, that was by far the best one.
Okay, so Alex, what I liked about when he went to Alex's and I was like, oh, I didn't expect to like her that much because I've been a little bit off her for a long time, was when she said to Richie, because Alex has a son, I have a son, I have a single mum, I have a son, I have a son. I don't know if you've picked that up yet because Alex has got a son.
Has she?
Yeah, she's got a son.
Excellent.
Alex was like, I don't think it's right for you to meet Elijah just yet. I don't think that's fair until we know what's happening. And I was like, oh my God.
And whatever the real reason for that was, I think it was handled beautifully.
Same. Also, Alex's mum, what a MILF. Did you see her?
I love her. She's the kind of mum where you walk in the door and one of the, maybe the third question she asks you is, do you smoke? Come out on the balcony. Let's have a chat.
With a glass of dry white wine.
Either a dry white wine or maybe a cider.
Oh, Chardonnay. West Coast cooler.
Do they still make those?
Yeah, my sister-in-law drinks them.
Oh, you don't get drunk because you're too high on sugar. That's a lie. That's not, there's no medical evidence.
So then
Alex's brother was the one to look out for. I liked his, have you ever cheated on anyone? Big suspenseful ad break. Lots of violins and brass. And then Richie's answer.
Alex and Richie had a bit of a pash and she said, I'm falling for you.
She said, I'm kind of sort of falling. I've got wonderful feelings. I'm kind of sort of falling for you. I'm falling in love with you.
I can't say anything because I'm contractually obliged to not admit that until the finale.
Next was Elena, I think.
Oh, yes.
With the tennis. And I was totally expecting Demir Dokic to come out because, you know, in that overprotective. But it was worse because her father was an ex-boxer.
Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
The dad, I loved Olena's family. The dad, as soon as they arrived, he had a like drinks tray with some
chili vodka.
So yeah, with some Ukrainian vodka and, you know, with let's do shots.
I've dated some, I've met the families of a couple of Eastern European suitors.
Right.
The drinking is amazing. It's fantastic.
Well, halfway through that, I thought, is Elena's mum drunk? And I was like, well, probably. White spirits at 10 o'clock in the morning will do that to you.
Do you confuse drunk with just European?
Oh, maybe. Mm.
It's the first time since Richie's met Elena that he wasn't actually punching above his weight.
Elena had a chat with Ukrainian dad.
Do I like him?
Yes.
And he's like, he's not questioned for me. It's questioned for you.
Great accent.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
You practice.
I think Elena's trying to vote herself off and it's not working.
Even if she tried to vote herself off, she'd still probably win because she's so hot.
Yes, but she's not a helper. That takes the shine off.
My friend Pete Wood.
Hi, Pete.
He's been listening to the podcast.
Hi, Pete. Thanks, Pete.
And not just because he's my friend. Like, it actually surprised me.
Mm.
And he wrote to me, that fit one, just end it, mate, and take her as your own.
Then we just learn lessons we already knew.
Yeah.
Hot ones get stupid ones.
So then they had a pash. I think Olana said, do we kiss now? I don't know.
Which was kind of genuine for her. And Rich is still pushing the mysterious angle. And it's like, she's not mysterious.
She's just hot.
And she's just hot and boring.
Like Richie. Then Rachel and Rachel was like, oh my God, you're here, bouncing up and down. Oh my God.
She did do the fishing thing and she did do sort of cafe with oysters. So she's better. She's actually better at planning dates than Richie is.
Yes. And then she had a family cast of thousands, literally six siblings.
Yeah. Like 25 people, maybe two good haircuts.
At the end, they left, they had a pash. I was like, I looked at it and went, he's not into her. And then she started crying.
She started crying.
And I was literally like, I felt two things. I was like, oh, my God. And then I was also like, I feel really, really bad for you because you've been isolated from the outside world.
Mm.
You've had three dates with a guy. You're clearly a competitive person and you've gone hard and you're not seeing what's in front of you.
Yeah, true. But she's also not under as much pressure as the other three because she doesn't have to worry about redoing her roots every week.
This is true. Then we got to the final home visit.
Just genuine warmth. For the first time in the whole series.
Correct. And as soon as Richie got to Nikki's place, he stopped becoming a robot and he started having personality.
I think he really relaxed. Yeah. But can we? I'm actually tearing up because I'm about to mention the very best thing
okay.
about Nikki's home visit.
Yeah.
Fiance-in-law Snowy. God, if you look up unit in the dictionary, Snowy will actually come to your house and bring you a beer.
The best thing about Snowy was when he was pulling Richie aside for the man chat.
With, you know, barbecue tongs in one hand and beer just resting on that beer resting place on your gut.
Seriously, what a dead set delight he was. But Snowy, the best thing about that was when he was having a private chat with Richie, he kept on doing side eye at the
camera. He was looking at the camera.
And you can probably just tell a poor producer like Jana was probably standing there going, no, no, back, no, like stop. Okay, mate, we just need you to be a bit more natural and not look at the camera. Yeah, yeah, nah, nah, Snowy's got it, all good.
You know that Snowy had eight friends round to his house last night to go, like to go, there you go, do I look fat, mate? Snowy, you come and do a podcast with us.
Snowy was the star.
And I love
breakout star.
One of my favourite kinds of Australian people is the kind of person that does this while you're talking to them.
Everyone in Nikki's family was awesome.
It was just, I was bursting. Twitter was bursting at the time.
Yeah. Nikki's sister looked like Clark Kent Nikki.
Yes. When Alex was talking to her family saying, I think I'm going to tell him I love him, I was going to go, oh, I don't know. But with Nikki, I was going, yes, do it!
Oh, I still thought it was too soon. But I'm not a cheerleader for love, Joe. I know that I'm podcasting about a dating show. I'm not a cheerleader for love.
I'm technically and clinically dead inside.
So
we're on the same page.
Awesome family. One quick thing about Nikki's date also was that she was like, oh, I'm an ambassador for WA Country Racing and was like, let's go to the races. There was no one at the racetrack.
They were sitting. It was deserted grass. I think stock imagery horse racing. Just Richie, Nikki and two semicircles on her head. What? How do you feel about the races date?
Oh, 100%. I'm on board.
I'm against.
Love. I love going to the races for two things. I love getting dressed up because I'm a girl, girly girl, and that's great. A man in a suit, I love it. Cannot get enough of it. And also when you mix, you're dressed up, they're dressed up, you know, there's something going on so you don't have to have awkward chats. There's so many opportunities to have discussions about, should we go and put a bet on this? What do you think of that? The conversation flows freely and everyone gets boozed.
True, but if I want to stand around all day drunk, ankle deep in mud with people I don't like, I'll go to a music festival.
Mm. Mm. Please take us to the races.
No, please take Jackie to the races. Leave me out of it.
Now, and I know that guys also just on races, I know that you don't understand fascinators. We don't understand fascinators.
No.
We're just forced to wear them.
It's basically, as long as you wander blindfolded through a stationary cupboard and then staple gun whatever you find to your head, you're set for the races.
I went to the races a few months ago and I had one of those fascinators which had the netting over your face, right? And I met this man.
Did he find you fascinating?
Well, he kept on trying to kiss me and I was like, oh, no, there's netting. No, no, no. No.
De-net you?
No, he did not succeed because it was just too hard. It was too hard. And I was like, well, I have to lift this up and I don't want to take it off. It's going to ruin my hair. So then at the end of Nikki's home visit, she pulled him aside and was like, I love you.
It was sort of like a Han and Leia. I know he can't say anything, but, you know, I love you. I know. But at the same time, he said, you always say how you feel. I love that about you. And I'm wondering if that was his sneaky way of saying it back.
Was that his code? That was his code.
Maybe, yeah. I love you. Pineapple.
Yeah, that was his pineapple.
Mm.
Then they were all of a sudden back at the mansion.
Bing, tits out.
Alex was wearing a dress that looked like Bjork's swan dress
she
from
did.
The Oscars.
You tweeted that. I laughed. But in the row, in the rosatorium row, it went lace, lace, lace,
bird,
goose.
Goose. and then the inevitable happened.
Finally. And I don't mean that because I don't like Rachel. I like Rachel, but token.
Token brunette. She gone.
She gone.
And she was like, you know, I just think there was an element missing. And I was like, yeah, peroxide.
Yeah. Peroxide and low self-esteem. No, that's mean. So next week, final three, they're going to drag it out. Yeah, maybe for six more weeks.
Yeah, quite possibly. Mm. So we might be here for a few weeks longer. So we're down to it's finale week next week. The three blondes are left. Olenna, Nikki and single mum Alex.
Single mum, busy mum Alex.
So next week I guess we'll know the result and we'll be here to reminisce.
Probably hungover. For now. Like prop oysters left in the Perth sun. We're off.